House Bill 1. Then for tomorrow, we will continue with House Bill 1, and I will hope that we can get to some of the general file. So please keep in mind, the general file will continue to grow, and I will have to reprioritize that file as we move through the week, with the bills being the last day to get them through the committee of the whole on general file is on Friday. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, members, we're on. I'd move on page 6 of your budget bill, line 14, section 2, Secretary of State, and I'd move that section. And for the explanation, Mr. Chairman and members, it'd be on page 2 of your summary sheet. And you'll see on page 2 of your summary sheet that 20 through 26 refer to the governor, so then look at the next section as section 2, Secretary of State. Now, if you just took and circled those three totals again, total of the governor's recs, totals of the JAC action, and then the total, kind of give you a quick overview. But, Mr. Chairman, to look at the lines referring to the three divisions of Secretary of State. The biggest, obviously, is administration, and we have five items of information for you on that division. And the first two, number one and two, in the middle there of the page, you can see are the global reductions. JC reduced 130,000 general fund. That's 1.5% of the standard biennial budget. Okay, and then number two there is also the second global reduction, and that is the travel, permanently assigned vehicles, and the professional services, and that amounts to a 90,000 reduction on the standard budget. And then number three is a position reduction and denied the Gov's rec for one AWAC position and reduced 67,000 general fund. And we reduced, the proposal was to move it from 901 series, and we reduced it then in the 901 and the personnel services. So it was to add a position for social media and those type of things, and we reduced that. And then number lines 4 and 5, I think, are just, they're basically related, and it's about for the constitutional amendment that we passed, that will be on the ballot next fall. We passed it last session. That expenditure, that cost is about $72,000. And so that's what items 4 and 5 are. So overall reduction to that agency of $288,190. Okay. And so I'd stand for any questions on Agency 2, Secretary of State.
Any discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 2 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Chairman Harshman.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And then I would move on page 7, line 9, section 3, State Auditor. And members, that is on the bottom third of page 2 of your summary sheet, carrying over to page 3 of your summary sheet. So the state auditor, Agency 3, you can see the first division, administration, and it has two notes regarding that, and numbers 1 and 2, which are explained on the top of page 3. And you can see that the JAC reduced the 10% travel. And then you can also see the global and the 5% professional services, and that resulted in a $507,000 savings. And then also the penny plan applied to the standard budget on line two reduced the standard budget by $265,000. Okay, on the brucellosis division, which is really a depository where we deposit funds to be used in the fight against brucellosis, and that's been there for several budgets now. And so brucellosis doesn't really have a standard budget. It's what we appropriate to it each year. And so you can see significant action on number three because we denied the governor's letter number 10, which requested $168,000 LSRA for additional brucellosis testing funding. We think there's, during testimony, there's over $600,000 in that account still. We looked at kind of the drawdown rate over the last several years and figured that was an appropriate amount. Now, anything could happen. You could have a forest fire, a flood, or a brucellosis outbreak that eats all that up in 1 month. But the governor, keep in mind, does have significant flex authority in the budget through the B-11 process. If we were in an emergency situation, just like we were with forest fires back in 2012, it could certainly be B-11 money until we got back here at this time next year. But looking at the average burn rate on that, that looks like that will cover this biennium, and so that's why we denied that ask for $168,000 because there's over $600,000 in the account. And then number four, it's actually $682,000 that is part of the. It was added to the 303 section, the carryover appropriations. So we'll carry that appropriation over; it will not revert. And so that's on brucellosis, and then. The next division in the auditor is the Game and Fish License Revenue Recoupment. And basically, that was set up as a division. We've passed several legislative initiatives over the years that the legislature has debated and thought that perhaps hunters and anglers shouldn't have to pay for some of these other legislative initiatives and some of these endangered species. And other legislative initiatives. And so on number five, on the license revenue recoupment, we have one note, number five, which was the penny plan applied to that and reduced that balance by $27,375. And then on the next division, state employee compensation, and this has notes number six and seven, and we reduced the penny plan was $55,000, and then we also it kind of relates. It's part of the on note number seven. We moved the $3.6 million to section 305 on employee benefits, and basically that is health insurance for state employees. And so the auditor is kind of a holding account for several of these accounts, from brucellosis to general game and fish recoupment and also state compensation. And so that was really our actions on that. And you can see then the totals request was $23 million in that agency, and the final budget bill contains $18.6 million for the state auditor. And most of that, though, if you look at the ongoing operations of the auditor, is in that administration division, and that was reduced by $750,000, roughly. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for any questions on Agency 3, State Auditor.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question goes to footnote number 5. And I'm not tracking how you can apply a what do you call that, global cut to that. My impression was that $1,825,000, that that's actual loss in license revenue, and it's actual costs of dealing with non-game species. So I need some help. I know it's not a big dollar amount to 27, but I don't think it's fundamentally sound reasoning.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you to the chairman of revenue for that question. And, you know, we took that testimony that on again, you look at the standard amount that goes in there and the amount that's being expended and the testimony of the committee that they could easily absorb that. Their expenditure rate out of that account does not match the appropriation. And so this reduction we felt would be appropriate. And so your question was you thought that that matched the appropriation matched the expenditure. It does not. Expenditures are well below that appropriation amount by several hundred thousand dollars.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question in regards to the full or through the employee count. Just comparing the 2014 budget bill compared to this, it looks like they had 25 employees, and now this is an increase to 26 employees. And I'm just wondering in the discussion when the auditor came before the committee, where that extra position is coming in and if it's actually needed at this point. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And this is a great question because it's a good example what we do to ourselves. And I think the good chairman of management audit would probably remember this, and chairman of judiciary. We passed a bill, I think, a year ago that added one more position for these reversions. That was a bill that we passed that added to this. It was a Senate file. And I'm looking, I'm getting a nod, but we actually did that to ourselves. So that's how that new position came in, and we put it in a bill that we passed.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. You know, in the last year, we've had two new outbreaks of brucellosis in the state, and I was wondering what the discussion was in your committee about that and about how those new outbreaks may influence the need for those additional funds.
Chairman Harshman.
Appreciate the question. And again, just kind of going back to our testimony, and I could pull up my notes, but looking at those outbreaks, you know, they were about, what we think, as I recall, were about half of that $682,000. And so we thought, you know, again, judging in the future by past performance, that this would be enough going forward. But let's say if we're wrong and a major outbreak occurs, and then, you know, the governor could be 11 money in, and we'll be back here in a year to correct it. And that's the way, that's in the end, I think, would be fair to judge our actions as a committee. So we did talk about it a lot. I mean, that's one of those you make a judgment call, and you try to hit, you know, not too much or not too little, but the Goldilocks just right. And right in the middle, and sometimes you're wrong. And if we're wrong, we'll be back here in a year to add to it. That's a two-year number, so it should certainly cover anything that would happen. Rap on wood, anything in the next year. Thank you.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I have two questions. One, the good chairman of appropriations talked about the flexibility that's provided in this 300 series to the governor. But I wonder if you'd also just clarify what the flexibility is within agencies outside of the B11 process between 100, 200, 400, 600, 900 series, you know, where the limitations are. I know there's some limitation and if that's changed or how that stands now. And the second question is with regards to the footnote 7, which is the 364 and the section 305. When I look at section 305, it looks like we're doing it in a different way. So where does the money that appears to be coming out of this budget and the auditor's budget, where is that money going to? Because for me, it's not clear when I look at section 305. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, thank you for the question. The first question was about the flexibility of agency directors. First of all, they cannot move any 100 series. I'll tell you, when I first started on this committee, that was kind of the norm. I mean, you could keep your vacancy savings and theoretically buy office furniture at the end of the budget. And we put an end to that about 4 years ago. And so there's no movement of 100 series with the exception of the Department of Health. And we've, you know, we'll debate this. We've granted also to corrections in this budget. And we gave corrections some authority last year, particularly on recruitment. But we're giving them more authority now in this budget. Now, the flexibility that the governor has then is the B-11 process, and that's flexibility that we give him. And the governor really has to sign off on these, but it's 10% movement within the agency from 200 series office furnishing supplies to the 900 or 900 to the 200 or whatever, or to the 600. So they can move within the budget 10%, but the governor can also move across agencies up to 5% across different agencies. There's considerable flexibility. We'll get into the 300 series tomorrow, but then we granted him what we call super flex, which is unprecedented, really, in what I've seen and in regards to these global reductions, the penny plan, travel, and we've given him a whole menu where he can move those around. But we'll talk more about that tomorrow specifically. The next question was about the employee benefits. That payment is actually going to go down each year. That number, I believe, and I want us to be careful. This is not footnote 7. That is just line number 7 on your summary sheet. These are footnotes, and these have the power of law. Okay? These are just notes that will never be entered in the public record. Okay? Just notes for our understanding and summary. And that is part of what was passed probably... I'm just using my memory, 2008, maybe 2006, for retirees' health insurance subsidy for retirees in the state of Wyoming, and it's like $10 per year of service. And that number is getting smaller every year, as obviously that's going to be a smaller pool, and it took care of just a few people and that retired before a certain date. What was that date? It was 2008. So those retirees before 2008. So that's what that number is, and we're so that moves into the employee benefits section. So stand for any other questions.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 3 has passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 8 of your budget, section, I'd move Agency 4, Section 4, State Treasurer. And members, that will be also on page 3 of your summary sheet. There are only two footnotes in this section, but we'll work off the summary sheet. And the Treasurer's Operations, has that division has three notes. And note number 1, or line number 1 on page 3, are the global reductions, the penny plan, reduced nearly $62,000 from the standard budget. Note number 2 is we did adopt the governor's rec for $21,000 in computer equipment, and we changed the funding from LSRA to general fund. Now you'll see on also on treasurer's operations, line number 3 is the other global reduction on travel, permanently assigned vehicles, and the 900 series, contract series. That reduced the standard budget by $93,000. Now, there are two footnotes, and they're semi-related. I'll talk about line 4, which is footnote number 1, and we added $123,462 general fund to this budget effective immediately to finish out this fiscal year, and that is the veterans tax exempt property and motor vehicles, and that is the deficit in this program that's going to run out through July 1st. Now, if we didn't fund this amount, this would basically fall to the counties, because the way the statute is written, that it doesn't just reduce the benefit. If the state doesn't pay it, then our local counties have to pay it. It's a law that we pass. And if we don't fund it, the counties have to do it. So the committee decided not to pass on an unfunded mandate to the county government. So that is effective immediately, and that goes against the 16 budget. Okay? Then you can see line number 5 on this veterans tax exemption. The penny plan was applied to that, $158,000. And then footnote number 6. is similar to number four, but it's with the Indian Motor Vehicle exemption. $42,000 is the deficit that we anticipate, effective immediately, so it doesn't get passed on to the county. And then number seven, line number seven, with the Indian Motor Vehicle Division, represents that those global reductions of the penny plan. So I'd stand for any questions.
Minority Floor Leader Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The view is completely different from this mic. I've never been here till now. My question... I guess I'm supposed to be on the other side of the room, the left side of the room. Anyway, sorry, Mr. Chairman. My question is... I'm a little concerned about this massive cut to professional services in the state treasurer's budget, and I wondered if we could have a little more explanation. A lot of those professional services are for investment folks who actually make us money, and so if we don't have that expertise, if that's what it covers, I would just like more explanation because we need to allow the state treasurer to make money for us.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And that's a good question. That $93,000, most of that is in contracts. And we are at that point where the contract is up for renegotiation right now. So, and the other piece of that is there's been a little bit of reorganization in the investment team. New people. And it was kind of referenced to the committee then that more of this investing expertise can reside in-house and less on these manager payments. So we think the timing is pretty good, actually, for this reduction since the contract's going to be renewed, coupled with the fact the reorganization in the treasurer's office. So we didn't get a lot of concern, frankly. And I agree, we're not going to do anything to reduce our ability to generate revenue, but we felt this was appropriate.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you explain to me what the Indian Motor Vehicle exemption is? I looked for that and just don't understand it.
Chairman Harshman.
You know, I think, thank you, Mr. Chairman, that predates probably all of us here. It's a statute that was passed to give an exemption, I think, and I'd have to go back and read the statute, but it's on tribal members and motor vehicles, and I think. So I think it's probably somebody here. It looks like people, anybody want to throw me a lifeline on this deal, but it predates any of us, I'm sure.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's correct. It's a sales tax exemption for the tribal members on motor vehicles.
Representative Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe that that is the result of a lawsuit, and I think it's the county portion. And so it's backfilled sort of like the license recoupment in the previous budget session or section.
That explains why it's an appropriation because it backfills the county.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section 4 is passed, Committee of the Whole. Representative Nicholas?
Chair, I would move Section 6.
Hang on a sec, Representative Nicholas. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, you'll see there's no Section 5, and that's State Superintendent. And that it's all zeroed out, you'll see, if you have a copy of the budget you're looking at. And that is a transfer now to a new agency called 206. And when we had two superintendents a few years back, there was another agency adopted. That's now going to be back consolidated again. It's easier to move for budget folks from 05 to 206 and 206 back to 05. So there's nothing to talk about on 05. That'll all be tomorrow in 206. And so now how this will work is The chairman will just recognize different members of appropriations as they go through their agency. So I'm done for a while. Praise the Lord. And so I thank you all for your patience, and thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chairman. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And his throat's getting a little froggy anyway. I think he's about ready to sit down. So I would move Section 6 of the budget and ask for your favorable support. If going, this is at number page 9 on the budget bill, and page 4 of the summary sheet. It's pretty straightforward actually when you walk through it. And let me just go through the summary sheet with you real quick. One and two. Number one is just the one of our travel reduction. The number two is just a computer slight reduction that we did. You'll see throughout the budget that we kind of nitpicked it. On various parts of the computer request, just once again trying to be as fiscally conservative as we could. Number three is denied a Gov's request for $55,000 for additional training. Number four is the 1.5 reduction. Number five is a position, vacant position that we vacated. And all told, in this agency, we eliminated six vacant positions, and you can see that in the middle, right at the kind of under authorized employees, on the parentheses and six in the middle of the page. Then going down, you've got an $8,000 funding that a Gov recs, but we wanted to make it one time. Then another 10%. The $4 million, that's probably one of the substantial cuts we did in this agency. That has to go to the risk management fund, the total fund for the insurance pool. And it was our conclusion that we were basically overfunding it. We were receiving refunds at the end of every biennium, so we took it down by $4 million in terms of general fund dollars. Then footnote number 10, that is the we added 20,000 miles on a mileage replacement, and if you go to your bill, footnote number 2, I believe, yeah, on the footnote number 2, which was at page 10, that's where we go from the $100,000 to 120,000 miles, on the vehicles. We did allow leeway or flux, if the vehicle's wrecked, if they got some problem with the vehicle, then obviously they can replace it. But basically we're just going to say drive longer. Then walking down 10%, 11 and 12 are just our general fund cuts with the global cuts. 13, that's just another little chip that we did to the Gov's rec. We reduced utilities down $500,000. We just premised that as just a rough number, saying, look, gas prices are going down. The cost of utilities should go down, so we're going to nip that budget just to save some more funds when it goes into it. Next is another 10% and 1.5%. Footnote 18, that's $461,000. If you recall, we created two temporary positions for the capital construction, for the building of the capital and the build-out. So those are temporary positions. Those are funded out of the capital construction fund, so they're not general fund dollars. Those come out of that total, basically, $300 million cost analysis that we have targeted for that. So that's where those two positions come from. Gov's letter, Gov wanted $25,000 to study district attorneys and county attorneys and why perhaps we should pay them more or pay them less. And we thought, well, we don't really need that. We know what the issue is. If they want more money, they got to come and ask us for it. Otherwise, there's no purpose for the study. Then going down 10% cut, 1.5% cut. There are three positions right there, three vacant positions that we just tallied up, and you have the total dollar figure. Then 10%, 1.5%, another position cut, and 10 and 5. So with that, if you have any questions, I'd try to answer them if I can.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, fellow local representative. If you could just go back, you gave an explanation, but I'm not sure I entirely understood it. On note 9 on the summary sheet, about reducing 4,000 in general fund and increasing 4,000 in the special revenue for insurance premium funding. If you could just flesh that out a little bit. Is that a reinsurance program that we're doing, or could you just tell me about that a little bit more.
Sure. That's our self-insurance pool. And so that's the monies that are there available for our insurance claims. That fund sits, I believe, around $53 million right now. And when we looked at it, our conclusion was it doesn't need to be that high. So we're not going to fund it, that $4 million. We've reduced what we was going into it. But we also gave authorization to spend $4 million in the event that those claims existed that was necessary. So I think that's basically what it is. Don's shaking his head, so I was close.
Any further discussion?
Question right here.
Oh, pardon me. Representative Reeder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question here. I noticed under other funds, there has been an increase of $88.8 million over the standard budget, and I was just wondering if you could just kind of maybe give me an idea of what that includes, please.
Representative Nicholas.
Sure, and that's I was kind of expecting that question from my good friend from Natrona County. Those are basically insurance premiums that have gone up. So $75 million is the increase in health insurance costs. $6 million is the added vehicles to replace the fleets. So right there, there's $82 million right there. And if you go to page 8 of the general budget, of the A&I budget, there's a breakdown of what all those costs are, and I'd be happy to show those to you when we're done.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 6-6 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move Section 7 of the Wyoming Military Department and ask for your favorable consideration. And if you go to page 10 of the bill and page 6 of the summary sheet, even though there's a long list of items, 80% of those, if you look at them, are the 10% cuts and the travel cuts. And so literally in the 1.5% and 10%. So it really is a fairly simple explanation. If you go down to bullet point number 3, you'll see we eliminated two positions there. A lot of the military folks, as you all well know, are federal funds. And so when we eliminated positions or looked to positions to eliminate, we obviously had to look for the general fund positions, but we did find several that were vacant and got rid of those. There was also a request, let me find it here, down on number 12, which is really the big one. They requested to have one more veteran service officer added to, and that would be general fund dollars, to assist our servicemen. There's already 8 employees that do that particular function, and so our conclusion was, number one, we didn't want to spend more additional general fund dollars and be fiscally conservative on it, but the fact that they already had 8 of those positions already in place, we just didn't think it was appropriate to add one more. The other thing, and it's a continuation, you'll look at number 16, there's a footnote 3 that talks about $200,000 in general funds appropriated for veteran services organizations. That's an ongoing footnote that has been there for in the prior bienniums. We just, once again, thought we would still fund it again, but wanted one-time dollars so that if, in fact, we have more dire issues in the future, that doesn't wrap into the standard budget. Any questions?
Chairman, one for Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question on number 4, that we're adding some extra money for computer equipment. Is there a special formula? Because we have a lot of federal funds that go into the state military department, and obviously we have some state commitment there. But how do we determine which computer equipment that the state pays for and which computer equipment the federal government pays for?
Representative Nicholas?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if I know the answer to that. All I know is that on certain positions that are held in that are part of the Wyoming department of where we fund the computer equipment, then those are the ones that we approve. If otherwise, they just ask for approval and there's no financial impact to it.
Chairman Donovan.
The follow-up would be then if there are 100% state funded, then obviously we would have to supply their computer equipment. But are there not some positions that are, 80-20 or 60-40? But I can find out that question later. So let me just put it on hold, and thank you.
The answer is there's lots of positions like that. And if you go into the sheet that has all of the employees, I mean, they have quite a few employees. If you look at that 244, three-quarters of those, yeah, there's no social formula for it. It's just our percentage of what comes out of the general fund.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this is we've had several agencies where this question could have been asked, and I'll just ask it in this one because it's here. It also has to do with the software and computer equipment. So several years ago, a new agency was added to support the technical electronics and technical stuff. So my question is, do we have a unified purchasing process for that same equipment that we are supporting with a unified support team? So we have a unified support team through another agency, but it looks like to me, well, my question is, are each agency actually going out and requisitioning new equipment on their own? That would be my question. Thank you.
Representative Nicholas. Chairman Eichmann.
The answer to your question is yes, all equipment is bought through the OCIO through our procurement process through one agency in the state. And all computer and software purchases all have to go through a business case and be approved by that agency, and then are all purchased. So yes to that part. No, agencies are not going out and buying their own software, computers, programs, those things. All those have to go through the single purchasing plan that we adopted here a few years ago. Mr. Chairman, I think that's a section in your budget. Is that 330? 350? 315 in the 300 series spells that out. Okay, thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the budget bill itself, on page 10, line 19, for the Army National Guard there, we have other funds that, if I'm understanding it correctly, come out of the School Foundation Fund. Is that for that challenge program, or if you could just help me understand why that would be?
I believe that's correct.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 7 has passed Committee of the Whole. Oh, there. Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Agency 8, Office of the Public Defender, page 11 of your budget bill and page 7 of your summary sheet. What you'll see in this section are three divisions: the Public Defender statewide, the Guardian ad litem in court-ordered capital cases, and there are seven lines associated with those three divisions. You'll note on the first line is some of the global reductions for travel, assigned vehicles, and professional services. Line two is one increase from a part-time to a full-time worker, but you'll note that this increase is from someone who was a 0.98% to full-time. So this is an individual who at one point in Fremont County took off an hour every other week, and now this is a full-time position rather than with a new person rather than 1 hour off every other week. Number three is the global reduction, and number four is a governor's recommendation for $493,000 to the Public Defender's Office to train current attorneys to be prepared for the possibility of upcoming death penalty cases. Because we have death as a possible punishment, the attorneys need to be trained, and we're going to address why with another footnote. All right, in the Guardian ad litem section, you'll see reductions, the global reductions. And then for the court-ordered capital case, we have $1.25 million effective immediately for a current capital case where a federal appeals court has ruled that previous public defender counsel was ineffective and has reopened that case. And so our public defender's office needs to have that funds available for the possibility of upcoming hearings. So in summary, the global cuts include $341,463 for the austerity plan, $20,675 reduction in in-state travel, $3,437 for out-of-state travel, $2,096 for vehicle usage, and $247,722 for a reduction in the 900 series contract. That could be of a potential interest, that that money is used by this agency to contract for attorneys that serve out in the counties for indigent folks in relation to their criminal cases. And I'll take any questions.
Any discussion? Question being called. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Section 8 has passed committee of the whole. Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 9 of your budget bill, Agency 9, Wyoming Pipeline Authority. This one's pretty straightforward. This is a good example of where their base budget in 2014 did not change into with their standard budget because there are no personnel. There are no Series 100. So that budget amount stayed the same. The year actions of your GAC were quite simple, and we applied the global reductions, the penny plan. And in particular of importance to this agency was reductions to the series 901. And as a matter of fact, this would be an agency that saw a reduction of $70,000 from even its 2014 budget. And it's simple, so I'll stand for any questions.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 9 is passed committee of the whole. Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 10, Department of Agriculture, page 8 on your summary sheet and page 13 on your bill. Mr. Chairman, with the penny plan, GAC reduced Agency 10 by $480,709. Which represents a 1.5% reduction over the biennium. And what I did, if you're trying to follow this, I combined all of the austerity numbers into one, but you can follow them along in your footnotes. GAC reduced in-state travel by $42,125 and out-of-state travel by $12,987. GAC reduced vehicle expenses by $10,993. And Section 901 by $57,175. And if you're wondering where those numbers came from, if you remember, Chairman Harshman passed out a sheet with all the global cuts by all the agencies. That's where those numbers came from. JAC eliminated two positions, totaling $312,846. JAC adopted Gov's rec of $94,653 for equipment and changed the funding from LSRA to general fund. JAC reduced the 600 accounts, expenditure series, grants, and aids by $160,659. JAC adopted the Gov's rec of $200,000 for equipment and changed the funding from LSRA to $100,000 general funds and $100,000 special funds. And I add a footnote number one, if you'll notice on your footnote one, specifying funds be spent equally between the two. And finally, Mr. Chairman, JAC adopted Gov's rec of $375,000 for operation expenses for state fair and split the funding to $187,500 general fund and $187,500 special funds, and added footnote two, stating that funding is one-time expenditure. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I stand for any questions.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we could ask a good representative to help me understand, there's a couple of appropriations for equipment. Is that like at the state fair, or where is that, or is that the state lab? Where is that at? And help me understand that a little, please.
Representative Moniz.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, that's for equipment at state fair.
Representative or Chairman Madden.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just curious on how come we have brucellosis in the auditor's office and we don't have it in the ag?
Representative Moniz.
Actually, I think brucellosis is in Agency 51, I believe, which is Livestock Board, I believe.
Representative Summers.
Yeah, it's in there. Actually, there's a number of places. It's in Wyoming Game and Fish and the auditor as well.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Perhaps on your cheat sheet on number 11 and number 14, it's reducing 600 series expenditures for grants and aids. I'm curious what those, you know, what exactly are those? That's $380,000, almost $400,000.
Representative Moniz.
Yeah, that's the Consumer Protection Division, and I'm have Don take a quick look and see exactly what that was. Rather than hold up the process, I would have those notes in my budget. If you don't mind, I'll get back to you on that. I have those notes, but not here in this summary. So if you don't mind, I'll get back to you on that.
Representative Larson.
I have some real concern here on our leaf cutter bee that we're whacking that by $106, or can we? Is that okay there?
Representative,
if it's okay with you, Representative Larson, it's okay with us. Representative Larson, that goes to show you how fine we reviewed the line items in this budget.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section 10 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Section 11, which is on page 9 of the summary sheet, page 14 of your budget. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Department of Revenue. If you look at the summary sheet, you have three ETS actions where we approve with slight reductions. Then we have 10% cuts, and the austerity measures, they totaled out to be $342,000 if you combine all of those austerity cuts with the 1%, the penny plan, and the mileage and the vehicles. And if you go down to number 12, we did eliminate one program. This is one of the places that we found a program that you may agree or may not agree, but this program was $2.1 million, and we eliminated this program. It's basically a program that assists low-income folks. It provides a property tax relief. It's been a program that was started in 2003 when we had a lot of extra money, and then we continued to fund it over the years, and basically it pays out about $400 per applicant. There were just over 2,700 applicants in the last year. Interesting, the qualifications for it is a household income of $115,000 and 5-year resident. And so when we looked at the qualifications and the fact that it's just, we thought that this would be a place that, given the fact of our dire revenue shortfalls, that we would eliminate the program. So if you don't have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Perhaps they were just answered. Could you tell me if it's means tested? But I think you just said the income amount. But if you'd repeat that.
Sure. The answer is yes. If you, although it's a very high mean, it's $115,000 per household member. Some of the folks in the appropriations qualified for this had they applied for it. And there's no question that it did provide some assistance to some very low-income folks, to the tune of about $400 a piece. The payout is all the same. So if you qualify for it, then you receive the payout, which is about $400, basically to help pay on your property taxes. And so we just eliminate it.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Did you receive any public input on eliminating the program, or was that just department input?
Representative Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, obviously it was open and we discussed it in two or three different meetings, and there was input. I don't recall the specific, and more than just department input, but how much I don't recall.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you look at your Title 39, there is no reference to $115,000 for income. The actual facts of it is that anybody that's eligible cannot exceed the greater of 3/4 of the median gross household income for the applicant's county of residence as determined by the Economic Analysis Division. And it says not to exceed $100,000 per adult member of the household. Well, this is assets, you know. So the real number is as far as income, it's not $115,000. You cannot exceed 3/4 of the median gross household income. In every county, it's got a different median household income. So if you're in a low-income county, it's a low number. Last time I looked, it was like, for my county, it was $38,000.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, that's partly right. I misspoke. The $115,000 are your total assets that you can have that were not, in addition to a house and to cars and to some other assets, and it's 3/4 of the median income of the 44 states. And
you don't count, that's correct.
And you don't count your 401K as well.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, just to add probably what everybody said to try to pull this together. So the program's been in existence, my notes say, 11 years. It started with $74,000 appropriation the first year. It's grown to $2.6 million. There's been lots of changes to the program over those 11 years. You have to be a 5-year Wyoming resident, and your assets need to be less than $115,000 per household member, and that does not include your house, your cars, your health savings account, or your 401K are not included in those assets. So, and then it goes to, as the good chairman of revenue said, 3/4 of median income in each county, which on average is about $44,000. This county, I think it's about $54,000. And again, it's subject to appropriation. And so you can combine it with other programs. I will tell you that the Department of Health has a program that just recently started looking at recipients in these three major programs that we have and started denying. But the revenue, this agency does not look at if you receive other programs around the state. And so you can combine it, or you could combine it previously with this one. So, and then on average, it was about $407 in 2014 was the average payout.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I had quite a few calls from seniors on this issue, and I was wondering if the Appropriations Committee was aware that this really affected seniors and low-income seniors.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's three major programs, and perhaps your previous speaker from Pinedale is referring to the program in the Department of Health. But all these programs, keep in mind, the person has paid their taxes and then gets a rebate back. And the Department of Health is actually even a little bit different. So now there are other programs. Every county has, of course, a program where you don't have to pay your taxes and it just goes against the lien on your house. Many people take advantage of that. And when the house is sold or transferred later, then that's held against the lien. So I think in the end, we looked at all these programs that continue to grow. Many and we just thought, you know, there's still other programs out there, and particularly the one where you delay or defer your taxes at the county level. And we thought that was probably the more appropriate way to go than to have this one, which you heard about the assets, which don't include, I don't know how many people have those kind of assets. I know. But anyway, I won't comment any more on that. Okay, and then the question was by the minority leader about public comment. You know, we did follow Management Council's directive. Normally, we haven't had public comment during budget hearings, and we did have public comment. There were about 12 people testify on probably four different issues was the extent of our public comment, and I don't recall receiving any public comment on this issue.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 11 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Agency 14, Miners Hospital Board, page 15 of your budget bill and page 11 of your summary sheet. Friends, this agency is totally funded from special funds. In this case, the Miners Hospital Permanent Land Income Fund. You'll see that it's noted by a T2. The Miners Hospital Board makes available to miners up to $5,000 a year for uncompensated medical expenses due to labor in mining. They have offices in Rock Springs and Gillette. And they need an increase in their two part-time people to full-time positions, and you'll see that as footnote one and also note one with the budget. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Representative Nicholas, any other discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 14 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Section 15, the Attorney General, and walk you this is at page 16 in your budget bill and 10 on the summary sheet. If you go to the footnotes as you go down, once again, although there are lots of them, you'll see that 90% of those are all the austerity measures. The total for the Attorney General's office on austerity measures, we reduced $1.24 million with the penny plan, in-state and out-of-state travel, vehicles, and 901 issues. We did eliminate one position. That's footnote number note number five, I think it was an attorney three position that we eliminated. The other thing that you may recall is footnote number eight. That's the us becoming an agreement state through the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. We had to upfront those costs, but you may recall that all of those, once this program is up and running, will be self-funded, and it will repay those positions and then cover the cost of those positions ongoing. And I think that's really about all the major changes that are associated with the Attorney General's office. Do you have any questions?
Representative Larson.
Thank you. Again, if you could just help me understand why the School Foundation funds are used there. Is that for funding the staff that covers the education portion, or school construction?
I believe so. I think that's there are. Is that right? Is that the attorney that's by himself with two staff members, and they do exclusive work for the education?
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's the school funding litigation unit and deals with facilities and operations.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 15 has passed committee of the whole. Representative Greer.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I was answering a question. Mr. Chairman, I'll move Section 20 of your budget bill, Department of Environmental Quality, Agency 20. So I'm on page 17 of the budget bill and then on page 12 of your summary sheet. And I think I'll walk down through this and skip the global reductions unless you want me to restate all those and move you right to the other actions, which then will begin on the summary sheet on line 3. And this is an exception request for, again, software, computer equipment. This was done with a case study that was approved. And then the next component of this was the paperless office initiative, which has been an ongoing project with the Department of Environmental Quality. You'll see that the amount that was approved was $1.225 million, and what that was a scaled down ask by the department, which really then they're going to focus in on their air quality division and their permitting in the air quality. The next item I'll draw your attention to is line 5, which we see is in the air quality as well. Last budget cycle, because of the increased monitoring requirements in air quality with the federal regulations, we had a shortfall. And so there was AML funds, which were borrowed from the land quality division to the tune of $1.3 million. Unfortunately, then we found that those AML dollars didn't come to be. And so you're going to see me reference that down below. What we were able to do now with the prior balance funds coming back is to make that provision whole. And so you'll see that in our AML bill that will be coming before the body a little bit later, is making up that loan amount right there. The next item I'll draw your attention to is in line item 8, which is a request for another $300,000 to deal with the issues at Pavilion for additional testing on the water wells in that area. And it is just a follow-up. They're looking at 9 additional constituents that need to be studied, and that's what that funding's for. You'll also see that as a footnote in the budget bill itself. Next item I'll draw your attention to is line item 10, which is a reduction of a vacant position, and if memory serves me correct, it had been vacant for over 20 months, and I think it was a leftover position from the coal bed methane heyday. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and move on down to line item 17. It's a $1.8 million. So this was part of the borrowing that occurred. So what we're doing is restoring the 1.8 into the, and this is the orphan well, or excuse me, the orphan site program in the land quality division. And again, that will be now with AML dollars. You'll see that in the AML budget. The next item draw your attention to is line item 19. And this, again, goes with the agreement state status, the legislation we passed last year. The legislature agreed to stand up the costs or to incur the stand-up costs associated with that program. But once the program is stood up, it will be solely funded
by special revenue, and that will be from the companies that are doing the mining. And JAC felt it was important to stick this footnote in there because we may not be around to make sure everybody realizes that we have to make a reduction in general fund dollars to accommodate that shift. And so with that, maybe I'll just take any questions.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. The good representative could give me a little more detail on the $300,000 from the Pavilion groundwater study, what that issue was all about. I know what the issue is, but can you describe why the study was needed and then why the funding was pulled? Give me some background on that.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think the funding wasn't pulled. It was a request by the department. And as I've got this, these funds will be for consulting fees. There were another 9 constituents in the water that they needed to analyze further, do the sampling out of the domestic, and these are the domestic wells in the area. And what I've got here is that they need a definitive statement in looking at those specific constituents that were still an issue that was remaining after the first round or second round of studies. So and hopefully what that is to completely have that fully analyzed with a definitive statement on the at least on the contamination or the issues with it. So hopefully I answered that question.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I appreciate the explanation on the nuclear regulatory possibilities that we're looking at, nuclear final agreement. And is that why the administration costs under administration, which would be line 4 on the budget bill, is that why they've increased significantly from the previous budget? Looks to me like there's about a $3 million increase, and I see 6 physicians. So I wonder if there's something else in that, or does that include that, first of all? And if not, what else is included in that? Thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman, the 6 positions is directly attributable to that. And the costs of that program is $2.5 million, I believe. It's right around in that ballpark. It's been a year since I looked at that legislation. But that is the bulk of that increase, yes.
Any further discussion? Further discussion?
Then I'd move to close.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section 20 is passed the committee of the whole. Speaker Pro Tem Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move Section 21, which is page 18 in your budget bill, and page 13 on your summary sheet. And again, the vast majority of the line items on page 13 cover the global cuts, which amount to approximately $397,000 for the Department of Audit. There are also 3, if you look at lines 4, 9, and 11, those are all computer equipment and software purchases and that we appropriated. And that leaves really only 2 other issues to talk about within the Department of Audit budget. The first being line item 3, and you'll see that we added $40,000 in special revenue for administrative support for the collection agency board. And really what this reflects is an increase in the number of collection agencies registered in the state, which has resulted actually in an increase in the amount of fees that they pay and the increase in the amount of administrative support needed. So that $40,000 is all out of those fees paid by collection agencies for their own regulation and oversight. And then line item 13, you'll see we moved. There was about $91,000 worth of work in the audit in the excise tax audit division, where really it was work done for the Department of Transportation, looking at audits for fuel tax, for like the rental car surcharges, the international fuel tax agreements. They actually do some of that audit work for DOT, And so we switched those funds, and you see the special revenue, that $91,000 is actually highway funds. So now YDOT is paying their share, essentially, of those audit fees. So those were the only changes. I'd be happy to answer any questions that anybody may have.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I do have a question in regards to the excise portion that's in referenced here. There's $1 million increase from last biennium to this biennium, and I see this explains some of it, but I'm just kind of curious where that $1 million increase is coming from.
Speaker Pro Tem Stubson.
Well, and I don't know that off the top of my head, but I'll find an answer for you and come let you know.
Any further discussion?
And then move to close section 21.
Further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section 21 is passed committee of the whole. If I could get an appropriations member at a mic, that'd be great. Speaker Pro Tem Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move agency number 23, Public Service Commission, and ask for your favorable consideration. The Public Service Commission is pretty straightforward because there's actually no general funds in it. You'll see in your budget bill on page 19 that there are some federal funds. That comes primarily from the Federal Pipeline Safety Administration. The rest of these are special revenue, which are actually the fees paid by the various regulated utilities. And so you'll also note that none of the global cuts apply because there are no general funds in this agency. And there were no changes made to the Gov's rec. So with that, I take any questions you may have on Public Service Commission.
Any discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section 23 has passed committee of the whole. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to open section 24, State Parks and Cultural Resources, page 19 in the budget.
Go ahead, Representative.
Thank you. State Parks and Cultural Resources, on the column global, the penny plan, the in-state cuts, the out-of-state travel cuts, the vehicles, the 900 series, totaled $496,820, and I won't go over each of those in the various programs. We'll go over some of the other changes. Line 4, reduced the governor's recommendation of $340,000 for the Humanity Council grants by $100,000, leaving $240,000 and making that a one-time funding. Reduced the governor's rec of $50,000 by $10,000, leaving $40,000 for artifact and art conservation, and added footnote number 2 to the budget, making a one-time funding. Line 7, two positions were eliminated. Total savings was $327,862. Line 8, reduced the governor's recommendation of $25,000 by $10,000, leaving $15,000 for statewide arts conferences, and added footnote number 3, making that also one-time funding. Line 9, reduced the governor's rec of $300,000 by $50,000, leaving $250,000 for art council grants. Line 10, JC added $990,000 general fund for capital building restoration and renovation project from unexpended, unobligated appropriated funds from the Wyoming State Penitentiary North Facility demolition and moved it to Senate File 41. Line 11, adopted the Governor's Letter Number 7 for a recommendation of $100,000 for the We the People program in the high schools. Changed the funding from LSRA to school foundation program and added footnote 4, again, one-time funding. Line 14, eliminated vacant position for a savings of $72,023. And line 15, reduced the governor's recommendation of $200,000 for the Wyoming Conservation Corps, reduced it by $200,000, resulting in zero to that program. So with that, I would stand for questions.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. On a footnote in the budget bill on footnote 1, 2, and 3, so the $240,000 humanities program cut, the $40,000 artifact and artwork conservation, and the $15,000 statewide arts conference, were those cuts to increases that were proposed in the budget, or are those cuts to existing standard budget items? And then the one question I have on the $40,000 for artifact and artwork conservation is the State Museum is obligated to basically to do conservation of the material they have in that museum. Is that going to impede their ability to conserve the artifacts they currently have?
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first one, in footnote number one, that is in the standard budget. That originally started out several years ago with some small funding. Went up, I believe, in the last budget was something like $350,000 and was reduced in this budget. Originally, that was all funded through the National Endowment for the Humanities, which the funding was removed. The state stepped in and funded it, so now it's become all general funds. So it was reduced to what we felt was a reasonable amount of money. On the artifact and art conservation, that one, again, that work needs done. It's been in the budget, was in the last budget, was in there. We decided that, again, some of that can be delayed. Some of it does need to occur. We have some art and cultural resources that do take some work and will need to be conserved, so we left some money in there. And I believe the last question on the $15,000 is that's been one-time funding. It was a higher request, and it was reduced to $15,000 as, again, a reasonable reduction at this time in the budget.
Representative Yeagie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think you kind of hit on what I was going to talk about in the budget. Page 19, line 19, talks about $100,000 coming out of the school foundation, and that is the money that you're talking about funding the things that we are just discussing. Is that correct?
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The $100,000 out of the school foundation account is for the We the People program. The high schools compete, and that money funds that competition and also funds sending the winning high school in the state, I believe, to a national competition on that.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question about item 15 on the summary sheet. What is left of the youth conservation program, which was a program founded by a law student and supported by many people in this body? I'm concerned that nothing of it is left, and I'd like some clarification on that.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The balance of that account is, or that appropriation is now zero. That was removed.
Representative Escobar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe to dovetail on that a little bit, we don't have a lot of real good civics programs in the state of Wyoming for your high school age, college kids, so we've cut the humanities grants, we've cut the Youth Conservation Corps, and also We the People. So I mean, those are three real good programs. If we want to get young people engaged in what we're doing here in civics, I was just wondering why those programs are all being targeted.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would say we looked at each and every program individually. There was no targeting of any particular program. These were areas that we felt we could take reasonable amounts of money and still fund some of the programs. This was based on testimony we heard in our hearings. And there was no targeting at the arts. We still got them. We still support them. And we should. I'll just be blunt. I'm a contributor to the Council on Humanities. So it's not a targeting. It's just reasonable reductions looking at all the agencies and all of their programs.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back on the budget bill on page 20, the four footnotes, the reason why those are footnotes and it says it's not to be included in the standard budget because we've been doing these first three programs, actually all four of them, it's about 2009, and we've always made them come back and ask for this. We've always been reluctant to roll new spending into the standard budget. So I think there might have been a reduction on footnote three. Rest of this is pretty close to full funding, probably went through the global reductions, but that's why it says will not be included. We've done that every year. We just haven't rolled it forward where we never look at it again. On footnote number four on We the People, that did not receive any reduction, only a change in the funding stream. Previously, it's been funded by general funds. In this budget, it's by school foundation funds.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 24 is passed the committee of the whole. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move Agency 27 on page 20 of your budget bill, School Facilities Department, and it's at the top of page 15 on your summary sheet. This is pretty short budget. If you would look, members, on the summary sheet, the global reductions apply to general funds only. This agency is our school capital construction funds, so they were exempt from the global reductions. So you can see on line one, the action was 17,000, represents a 10% standard budget reduction in travel. So we had to go in specifically and reduce, make reductions. And then on line two, the governor's ask, and we funded in last year or last biennial budget two temporary positions. We had a new director a couple of years ago, and we were trying to move some of this school CapCon. You maybe remember all those complaints. We had all this building up, and none of it was moving. So we hired two temporary positions to get this moving. The request was to continue that for one more biennium. We reduced that request to one position. One of them is currently open, and so we just have one position temporary till the end of this biennium. It's about to continue that, get that backlog of school CapCon projects moving. And then footnotes three and four really are just technical because that money got moved. Those were the governor's requests, and those are in got moved to the school capital construction bill. That bill is House Bill 52. We've changed the governor's request in the bill. We're going to hear it in our committee tomorrow. It'll probably be on general file Thursday. Out of these four new kind of budget bills, I think the Senate's going to take state-funded capital construction, and I think the House will start with school capital construction, and then we'll just run them like regular bills. So you'll see that. We'll debate all those requests. And then the last item we did was number five there. We reduced $500,000 in the engineering and technical contracts. And so really the big items in school facilities are the operations of the department, and you can see we reduced that by $17,000, and then major maintenance, which we fully funded. I had a lot of talk about that, but we included security, the ability to fund security projects out of major maintenance, 10%. and in fact denied security funding. We'll talk about that more in the CAPCON budget bill. And then the engineering technical services, which we did reduce by about $500,000. So those are the big things in Agency 27, school facilities. I'd stand for any questions.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And we've had this discussion probably 2 years ago. As the money we come in, our revenues are going down, we, the good chair, oh, I don't know, 6 years ago maybe, got up and said an elementary costs about this much and middle schools, high schools, and we tried to get a handle on that. We sure didn't do it. And I just, a question about the whole program, using the same architect, using the same plans, instead of going out and getting each school district getting its own architect. We had a middle school build in our area that cost $27 million. And they had to do some bonding to get some of those, but we're just looking, and I've attended some of the facilities, as the good chair has been to. Are there things we can do to get kind of a handle on some of the spending to have a good quality school without having some extravagant things built in or some real nice, just having good schools without overspending, which when we had a lot of money, nobody cared, but we're not quite there right now. So you remember those discussions, if you could help us out with that?
Chairman Hodgman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the good representative asked, I think, about prototype schools, prototypical schools. So maybe you just have, like, one design statewide, small, medium, large for an elementary school. There's been a lot of debate about that in the last 15 years. And, in fact, some districts do use prototypes. All those designs actually are owned by the state. They can be used. There's been a few examples. But we actually asked that question again when we had the director in front of us, and they said, you know, the amount of savings is not terrific because each one of those require, because every site is different and you need a different site plan and you got to go through all the engineering piece and the whole works on that. You know, so we've gone back and forth on that. All of this is based on allowable square footage, and it's about the number of kids that are in the building. And so the other things are called enhancements, and locals have to pay for those. You know, I think it depends what you say. I think if you go look at the high schools in this town, if you go to the one south of town that's pretty new, it's a beautiful, modern school. You walk in it and the hallways are like 8 feet wide. Then you go to the one across the street over here and the hallways are 12 feet wide. And the floor finishings are the nice poured stuff that lasts forever. You go to the new high school, it's tile. I just think, you know, value engineering plays a big part of this. And I don't think any of you who've been involved in any school district projects in your district would say, boy, we got everything we wanted. In fact, most people grumble because stuff got value engineered out. But I tell people not to worry too much because you didn't pay for any of it. You know, multinational coal companies paid for all of it for the most part. But, you know, I think it's something you always keep an eye on. I would say this. Over this time, we've built about $3.7 billion in school CAPCON. About $2.4 of that's been coal lease bonus. The rest of it's been federal mineral royalties, natural gas, when we had the big surge. We built the Hathaway Scholarship, all those things. I think we're transitioning, though, and I think the department would say that, and I think the study that the University of Wyoming did would support that. We've got most of the condition stuff done. Now a lot of this has turned into capacity issues. You know, this community is still growing. You know, you drive around, you drive east of town, there's developments going everywhere, and 900 kids in this town and portables. So I think we're always going to have some capacity issues in communities in the state. But I think the department's done a lot of work on this. 21 million square feet in the whole system. It's like a big corporation that owns offices all around the world really would have that kind of square footage, 21 million square foot. And so the major maintenance plan and the construction really is designed to how do you recapitalize that on about a 50-year plan? And that's what has been the plan, really, that we've worked towards in school facilities. So, you know, and again, all plans, there's a lot of ways to kind of save and invest, and we're going to have that discussion as money gets tighter. You know, we just went through that period where we pancaked all major maintenance in the state from the 80s on. I mean, we've been back paying that in the last 15 years. We all know that, from highways to our local government buildings to schools to state buildings. And so it's an interesting discussion, I mean, and how we're going to do it. So I think the answer, you know, it's basically asking my opinion. I think we've got a pretty good handle on this. I think the only problem I see with this whole school CapCon is we've really divorced local people from it. There's no skin in the game. And so you don't have as many people attending meetings. You don't have as much debate. When you had to pass a bond issue, you had to go out and sell it. And people had to be involved on where the school's located, what's it going to be like, and people were all in. And I think that's been the thing, you know. We just have all been divorced from them. We've all gotten these new schools. The other little commentary, since you asked, yeah, we got 48 school districts. We've built brand-new high schools 12 miles apart, little tiny schools, you know, of 100 kids. We're the good representative who asked this question. He represents two high schools 12 miles apart. Done them up in Crook and Weston County, all over the place. So, Bighorn County, I mean. And we haven't gotten that poor, really, since the 70s when we consolidated. And that's another issue out there. And I just don't think it's in our time right now. But, you know, that's the other piece of this story. So, anyway, I'll be quiet. Thanks.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The good presenter mentioned about funding of security projects. If he could give me an example of that and what that means, please.
Chairman Harshman.
It's been thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's been a statewide assessment of all the security issues across all our schools. Now, and the thing we learned in this committee, there's also federal funding comes through Homeland Security, about $3 million a year for some of these capital projects. The other piece of this is how you train people. I would just tell you, as a school person, it's changed dramatically. We had our little fire drill. We also have active shooter drills now. People are trained differently, and maybe some of you are in the era when you had duck and cover for nuclear attack, you know, and in the old days of mutual assured destruction. And so there's a lot to this, but the security components that were raised are these mass alert system and then entryways are most of it. Mass alert systems are the most expensive. We still think on our committee that we can get to a lot of these through our major maintenance funding, because a lot of it is doors and locks and maybe a few cameras. And so we're hoping we can continue this process. It's not going to happen overnight, but to fund it and allow it through major maintenance. So that's where we're at on it.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question here. You know, we've talked about the creep that comes along with increased raises and health insurance, and I've noticed that with every section that we've covered. However, with this section, it's stayed relatively flat, and in fact, on the summary sheet, the footnote number 2 there talks about adding a new position to the tune of $289,000. And really, the difference there between last biennium and this biennium, as far as operations is concerned, is just a mere $50,000. And so, I'm trying to figure out the disparity there. Why this isn't larger than what it really is? I mean, I'm pleased to see it's lower, but I'm just trying to figure out what went on there. Thanks.
Chairman Harshman.
Yeah, and I think the quick answer to that is because another position that was basically that $289,000 is gone, and that was in the previous budget. And so that was the first major reduction, and you don't see those AWAC reductions. And then the other piece is just that $17,000 in global reductions. But the big one is one position is gone.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was listening to the appropriations chairman too much here, and I missed the capital construction is going to be in the CapCon bill. And will we have information to see if is it $87 million in there, and how much of it is for obsolescence or whatever, and how much is capacity and that kind of thing, or should we wait on that?
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, that you will see that in that bill, and we put $16 million is all, and that's really what's in the school capital construction account. And then you'll see that we also appropriated $80 million from the LSRA pending further study and review and then appropriation by this body next year. And I'd mentioned earlier, but we'll talk more about that bill when it hits the floor on general file. But, yes, you will see every project listed in the bill, where they're at, how much, and we can give you information on whether a capacity or condition type project.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section 27 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll move Section 29, Wyoming Water Development Office, Agency 29. You'll find that on page 21 of the budget bill and on page 15 of the summary sheet. Not a lot of activity in this particular agency. What you'll see when you compare to the last biennial budget is a significant decrease out of this particular agency, and that all has to do with finishing up the Gillette-Madison pipeline project, quite frankly. So you'll see with this only one comment on the summary sheet, and that was an exception request that was set forth dealing with the water resource data system. The JAC denied denied $100,000, which was a one-time expense for an enlargement of that particular project, and we went ahead and allowed the request for the $52,774, which were the ongoing costs associated with that particular project. And then again, you can go through and just I don't think we had the reductions in there on the global reductions to this one. So I'll take any questions.
Any discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed, no. Section 29 is passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Greer? No.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We get a few questions from time to time when we have the back-to-back agencies. So just trying to be accommodating. Somewhat difficult.
You're doing good, Representative.
Well, I like to hear that. Thank you. So, all right, Mr. Chairman, I will move Section 32 of our budget bill, Wyoming Infrastructure Authority, Agency 32. Again, a pretty simple one for us. Again, this does not have any of the employees associated with it. And so the global cuts were a reduction and a true reduction in their budget. And the global cuts associated with the Wyoming Infrastructure Authority totaled $98,000, a little over $98,000. And you'll just see those as far as items 1 and 2 listed in the summary sheet, or just an explanation of those global reductions. So stand for any questions.
Question being called.
Sorry,
Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering if the committee had any discussion about these global cuts. I know that during my time on JAC, these smaller agencies were that type of cut represents a bigger portion of their budgets. So it looks like they are actually taking a bigger hit than some of the larger agencies.
So, Mr. Chairman, that's a very good point. And so you've looked at the ones, Infrastructure Authority and Wyoming Pipeline Authority, too, that I've presented. When you start to look at the cuts to the Series 900, that's the Series 900 is the largest chunk of their budget. So they're incurring some pretty good reductions there. So that's...
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section 32 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Greer.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I move Section 37 of your budget, State Engineer's Office, and this is Agency 37. You'll find that on page 22 of your budget bill. And page 16 of your summary sheet. So, again, with the floor's indulgence, I'll just run through the cuts that aren't associated with the global cuts. If we want to look at the global cuts, I can give you that total amount, which was $558,000 for the global cuts to this particular agency. The bulk of those were associated with the penny plan, $429,000. And so as I work through this, sorry, when I get these back to back to back, a little bit difficult to get my thoughts together. What we ended up with, I guess I have to go all the way over on page 17 of the summary sheet to item 8, which was the first action to draw your attention to. It's other than the global actions. And that was a reduction... And actually, it was an adoption of the governor's rec for just some monitoring of certain streams. And the ask was much larger, but the agency had agreed with the governor's recommendation, and GAC went ahead and followed through with that. And again, that was some monitoring with in-stream flows. And if memory serves me right, I think what was particularly needed was monitoring on the Tongue River that dealt with the litigation with Montana was the focus of this expenditure. And then we'll move to line item 11, and this was a denial of the Gov's rec, and this was for costs associated with Unified Network. And if I recall, these were connection costs associated with the Riverton office. And we had quite a bit of debate on that. And my recollection of that full debate is not very clear, but I know this was the JAC's recommendations. They're contained in item 11. And then again, we'll look at, move down to item 15. And we adopted the Gov's rec of $20,000 for equipment. And again, like we said before, we changed all the funding over to the general fund. And that was, again, with the permission of the agencies. And this was, again, some flow monitoring equipment that was associated with this. So I'll stand for any questions. I do have my budget book up, so if you have any, hopefully I can get them answered right.
Any discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 37 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Section 39, Wildlife Natural Resource Trust, page 23 in the budget book, page 17 on the summary sheets. This one, there were a few changes made to the budget. You can, on your list, see the global changes that amounted to $9,814. On line one, you'll notice $8 million of special revenue went to Division 3000 Wildlife Trust projects. That was for the purpose of clarity in the budget bill. I think some of you remember in the past, we have the large project bill that comes up. You have the money that gets spent on the large projects. You also have the corpus of that account. And then you have the operating budget. This puts the money to be spent on projects in with the operating budget for clarity, so you can see exactly where it is. Currently, there's $8 million available for those large projects, and they will come back to us requesting money for them. The smaller ones, they can handle on their own. And that's the major change here. We also adopted the governor's rec for computer equipment and professional services contracts and changed the funding to general fund. The rest are the standard reductions. And I'll stand for questions.
Representative Escobar.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kind of like the earlier question I had about with the Infrastructure Authority, then this agency, two employees, and they travel all over the state. There's a lot more travel with this little agency here. So was there any discussion in the committee about the amount of travel they do, the number of employees they have, and still you went forward with the austerity cuts?
Representative Burkhart.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. That's correct. All the agencies received austerity cuts, and this is one that they felt they could accommodate some of these through web-based applications, doing some of their work by some of the various video programs and that, and combining trips and that. So they felt that they could adequately address these, and especially with the additional computer equipment, and that was the reasons.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I want to ask for clarification on the daylight that's being put into the projects issue. It seems like there's two projects. There's large projects and projects that fall below a certain dollar amount, I believe that's $200,000, that don't go into that project bill, if you will. So are those both included in this line item, or are they actually separate? Thank you.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Simple answer, quick answer is yes, they're both included in this line item, and that's pretty much the earnings on the corpus of that account that they can spend on those projects, which I think all of us have appreciated in the past.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed, no. Section 39 has passed committee of the whole. Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll move Section 40 of your budget bill, Game and Fish Commission, agency number 40. And again, with the floor's indulgence, I'll skip over the global reductions and talk about working off of page 18 on your summary sheet, hit the other significant actions. We'll start with line 5. Which was the JAC denied the Gov's rec of approximately $89,000 for equipment. This was some computer equipment, a pickup, and then an incinerator. And those are just items we felt we would allow to roll along here, given our circumstances. Moving down then to item 10. JAC denied the Gov's rec of $1,200 for computer equipment. This was a laptop. I want to move down to line 13, which was a JAC denial of the Gov's recs, again, for more equipment. And some of that, it was just a series of equipment, a laptop. We had... what was some more equipment in terms of it was just both transportation equipment by vehicle number, class code, and I don't have a complete breakout of that. So those were those particular denials, and it kind of held fast with our overall thought of holding on to some of our vehicles and equipment a little bit longer during this budget cycle. What I do want to spend a little bit of time on is item 14. And just so that I can help everybody's recollection, because mine was really poor. In 2014, Senate File 45 made some directions to the Game and Fish Commission. And two of those directives were that they would present a budget to GAC for two different items. One was for their health care. Okay, so they had brought an exception request for their health care for their employees. That was denied by the governor because the Game and Fish actually themselves have pulled that off the table, and I'll explain why in a moment. And then the second component is this with the grizzly. I don't have a pacemaker yet. I've been talking way too much. Yes. So, Mr. Chairman, with the grizzly bear program, that has rested with the commission, with commission funds. Senate File 45 in 2014 said they shall prepare a budget to present that over to the general fund side. And I think the people on TRW all know that discussion as we had legislative mandates that would put more and more pressure on the commission side. Well, what had occurred is that with the Pittman-Robertson tax on ammunition, had been expected that those revenues would be around $9 million per year, and they've been over $20 million. And so as a result of that, there's been additional funds in this agency. And with those additional funds, we were, one, able to leave the health insurance over with the commission side, because that's where those funds rest. And then with this grizzly bear initiative, that went ahead and stayed over on the commission side. And I do want to address one thing here. When you see the list of the agency reductions in the positions, it says there's six reductions in positions. Well, on this particular agency, that's six reductions in exception positions. Because what there was with the exception request on the grizzly bear is a request to increase on a general fund side six positions. So that was denied. So that shows a reduction of six. In my book, it really isn't, because those six still all rest over on the commission side. So I just wanted to take a few minutes and explain that. And so I'll try to answer any questions I can.
Representative Yeagy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned a little bit about the Pittman-Robertson money that is coming in. When I was there was a $50 million surplus in the Game and Fish, and 2 years later, I think it's, I don't know, in $70 million, you could help me out there. And then the last year, we voted to pay their insurance. I think that's $3.4 million in that category. And you just mentioned it's not on this budget, but anyway, could you help me understand how much money they have in savings? And every time we have a gun mandate, they're going to get more money with Pittman-Robertson Act. That's just automatic. So this fund is getting pretty big. And I'm pleased to see that you denied things and said, well, you can handle that. The insurance that they had been handling, were paying. Could you just help me a little bit with their savings, the insurance, and maybe even some of these programs right here that they could be able to fund?
Representative Greer.
Yeah, so Mr. Chairman, so I thought I did answer the question on the health insurance. Well, I'll most certainly do it again. What my notes indicate is from the Pittman-Robertson funding, that tax on ammunition, is that in the wildlife side, there's $28 million. So this would have been when we took the testimony from Game and Fish, which I can't remember. That was December. I think it was. And then there's another $5 million on the fish hatchery side. I understand there's both funding on that. So you're looking at, $33 million total. Again, the projections are at $9 million. They're getting $20 million. So the revenues are flowing in, definitely. So hopefully that answers that question. And then the issue was on the health insurance.
is that we didn't say we would fund their health insurance on general fund dollars. What we said is they would prepare a budget and present it to JAC for us to look at funding their health insurance. And when they came to us, they said, hey, we've had an increase in these funds. We are removing that request, that we agree we don't need to have the general fund fund our health insurance. But Senate File 45 still exists, and next budget, that will come in as a budget item, as will with the grizzly bear. So, did I get your questions?
Yes.
Okay.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this is an agency that has some uniqueness, and I was wondering if there was any discussion about actually breaking out the commission side of the budget and the general fund side of the budget. So on the general fund side of the budget, we actually don't know what administrative is versus programmatic costs. We just know the lumps of each program, whereas in all other budgets, administration is broke out separately, and we have a little different accounting system. So I just throw that as a comment, and if there's any feedback on that, it makes it difficult to know where 26 authorized positions are in an agency that has a total of a lot more positions, I would argue, but they're on the commission side of the budget. So that's just a comment. If you have some feedback, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, and again, in my brief history, we don't have to go back too awful far where all of this was a commission budget, and then we've slowly worked in general fund dollars. One of our legislators from Campbell County that passed, she had brought I can't remember, it must have been a bill, but we do get a presentation from Game and Fish on their dollars, and if you want it, I have it on my desk. But it shows all of the inflow of the dollars, commission dollars, general fund dollars, et cetera, and where those are being spent. And so that's our control, is really the general fund dollars, and then we get a report.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. As these endangered species and the lists of sensitive species continue to grow, and Game and Fish is asked to react more and more often to really species that are outside of their purview and control, really some federal control and federal mandates. I certainly understand that the Pittman-Roberts dollars are there, and I'm probably not going to run a budget amendment, but I think this body needs to understand that there's going to be increasing pressures on Game and Fish budgets because of species they really don't have, we, the state of Wyoming, don't have authority to control. So at some point, I know our budgets are declining, but we're going to have to address this issue, particularly of endangered species, sensitive species, non-game species, and hunter, and the fact that there's some stuff there that we're going to have to fund long-term as a state, not just as a community of hunters and fishers.
Representative Greer.
I sound more editorial than anything, so...
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 40 is passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Burkhart. I miss you there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now for the next hot topic with some shocking information. I move Section 41, Fire Prevention, Electrical Safety. Page 24 of your budget, page 19 on the summary sheet. The overall reductions to that agency was $106,420. Going through some specifics that were not part of the global reductions, line 3, denied the governor's recommendation for $13,950 for computer equipment, adopted the governor's recommendation of $111,029 for unified network connectivity, and added footnote number 1, making it one-time funding. Also adopted line 5, the governor's rec of $363,770 special funds for software maintenance and licensing costs, and added footnote number one, making that one-time funding. Line six, added 36,000 general fund for computer hardware required for the unified network connection, and added footnote number one. Again, all of that goes together with one-time funding. And line seven, denied the governor's rec of $20,000 for software. And with that, I'll stand for questions.
Any discussion? I'll entertain. There you go. Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section 41 is passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now to the agency that's caught between a rock and a hard place. I move Section 42, Geologic Survey. Geologic Survey, I'll just take an editorial moment, is probably one of the most conscientious agencies we have with their budget. And besides the global cuts, if you look on line three, adopted the governor's rec of $20,000 for computer equipment and changed that funding to general fund, and that's for some of their mapping processes that they can use to even save more money. And with that, I'll stand for questions.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section 42 is passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move Section 44, which is page 25 on your bill, and page 20 on your summary sheet, Insurance Department. This one, again, you'll see, does not have much by way of general funds in it. And because it does not have much by way of general funds, there was not much done to it. We did change, the global changes did apply to the insurance department, but they're very small because of the small amount of general fund that flows into the insurance department. The vast majority of it is funded by special revenue, which is, again, paid by the regulated community. So you'll see the notes on the summary sheet relate specifically to those global cuts. And with that, I'd take any questions, but otherwise I think we can approve it.
Any questions? Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the line 11 in the budget bill talks about the health insurance pool. There's a significant reduction between the last biennium and this one. Would you remind the body what that is specific to? I think that has to do with the high-risk pool. So thank you.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, it is. It's the high-risk insurance pool, and you'll remember before the ACA, it was had fairly broad application. Now it has application very narrowly applied to really the disabled community. So there are some folks in the disabled community that really this remains the option for them and the best option for them for insurance coverage. We thought actually at one point that we would be able to just eliminate the high-risk insurance pool, but it does fill that gap need. And so you still see continuing funding, but that also explains why that funding is much lower now than it was.
Any further questions, discussions? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Oh, sorry. Pardon me. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you. Going back to that topic that you were just discussing, it's my understanding that the savings resulted from those folks going on the ACA. Because we don't need the high-risk pool anymore. So if you could clarify that.
Speaker Pro Tem Stubson.
The reduction in the high-risk insurance pool is from folks who are now covered under other available policies.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section, I'm lost. 44 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Moving on to I move section 45, Department of Transportation, page 26 on your budget, page 21 in the summary sheets. The global reductions for the Department of Transportation were $119,377. One thing with the Department of Transportation, very similar to the Game and Fish Commission, is we only get to look at part of their budget. We don't see the entire budget that goes to the commission to allocate those funds and do those things with. So, again, some of the things are not in this budget but are a large part of the Department of Transportation. So on your summary sheet, line one denied the governor's recommendation of $4 million for the WyoLink towers. These were towers to the local communities. Line three reduced the governor's recommendation of $1.4 million by $679,837, leaving $679,837 and changed it to general funds, adopted footnote requiring matching funds from recipient agencies. And this, again, is for WyoLink systems that and for consoles for the dispatchers. Line four added section 303 to the budget, carryover appropriation, which allows up to $161,326 of unexpended, unobligated WyoLink funds from the prior fiscal years to be carried over. Line five adopted governor's recommendation of $1.4 million in mineral royalty grant funding to be used for ongoing WyoLink costs. Added footnote two, which directs the agency to reduce the amount charged to agencies. They're charging a fund to anyone who uses WyoLink until the mineral royalty grant is exhausted. So it helps those communities get through this change to start charging them for their usage. So line eight, adopted governor's recommendation and added footnote three, directing the agency to use existing appropriations, general funds, or highway funds as it determines best for the air enhancement services. Line nine, denied the governor's letter number eight for recommendation of $25 million in AML funds for surface transportation projects. And line 10 reduced $40,321,841 general fund, leaving $5,678,151 general fund for surface transportation projects in relation to governor's letter number three. And that's the using AML funds for those immediate projects and then returning the general fund money back for other projects. So with that, I'll stand for questions.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. The WyoLink thing probably has been a kind of a bit of a debacle for a long time. But having said that, it seems like now, it was always going to be a state-funded program, and now it's being shoved back down to towns and counties. And I wonder if you could expand on that quite a little bit more than you did on the discussions that took place in committee on WyoLink and how those funds are being, matching funds are now being asked, and if you would, I would appreciate that.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. WyoLink has been funded for quite a while. I think a lot of us have seen demonstrations or lack of demonstration of that system. The state originally started that as a way to have highway patrol communicate anywhere in the state and sometimes out of the state. I've noticed highway patrol, if you take 25 south to Denver, having vehicles pulled over 10 to 15 miles into Denver waiting for Colorado Highway Patrol to show up. WyoLink lets them communicate. It's a system where they can instantly communicate with each other. Well, that's the way it's supposed to work. In the past, and they've added continually, they've had to add their own towers, their own equipment, and that. And right now, the agency tells us they have about 98% coverage in the state. They're meeting their original goal, which was 100% coverage for the highway patrolman. And that. They have some maps. I have them if you want to see the maps from the agency on what they've done. They've had to erect, I think it was 54 separate towers. And that, and yes, we have spent a lot of money on this program. Originally, again, intended for the highway patrol and statewide emergency communication. Over time, some communities have really liked the program, some haven't. And communities have asked to be included in the program. What they've asked for currently are what they refer to as portable towers. Now, these portable towers, you know, aren't on wheels. They're small towers set up in the community so that the officers or fire department or whoever can communicate by their handheld radios into the WyoLink system. A lot of discussion there on how they'll do that, what frequencies they require in that. The agency has decided that due to the cost of WyoLink, due to the cost of WyoLink, that they should start charging for the services to recoup some of the money to the state. And they've set up a recoupment plan. There's a schedule there of amount of usage and that sort of thing to use it. These portable towers and handheld radios, the communities have said, hey, we would like these out of the WyoLink funds. But they're really for those communities more than they are for the state communication system. And in this budget crunch right now, it wasn't felt appropriate to fund those at this point. The governor also denied money for WyoLink. What you're not seeing in the budget you have are also some of the governor's cuts that he's made in budgets. So that's where WyoLink stands right now, according to the agency. If you want to see the maps, glad to share them with you. I don't have them right here with me. I have a whole book of them, and hopefully that answers the representative's question.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My fire district recalls that Wyoming asked them to be in it. I don't think the reverse happened where the communities asked to be in it necessarily. But they, suppose they want out. They don't have the money to fund it themselves, and they want out of this. How does it affect the overall program? How does it affect their application for grants? And because the cell phones are working way better in at least two of the districts that I know of, and that's what they resort to anyway.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Frankly, I don't know the procedure to get out. I guess they just quit using it. They don't have to participate in it. I know some county sheriffs that don't want to take part in it. I know some local police departments that do, and it's up to locals. There's no requirement that I know of that the state has offered to make it available, but I know of no requirement that forces them to do it. You know, and WyoLink is one of those things, frankly, we've got enough money into it. We probably need to continue to maintain it, but I wouldn't build it out anymore. Just a personal comment.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I need to have a little clarification on footnote number one with the $4 million for WyoLink towers. And then I also heard you say that we have 98% coverage. Now, is this $4 million an effort to move that 98% up to 100%? Is that what I'm missing here or not?
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The towers are for some additional towers, and if you give me a minute, I think I have what they were for. Yeah. Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, thank you for your patience. Again, these were mostly these what's called portable towers or local towers in communities that could be set up on high points in buildings, that sort of thing, and the handheld radios. There was a lot of requests for that. And frankly, we have a lot of requests for money from everyone. We just can't meet all the requests.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If there's a 98% coverage, our county must be the only 2%, but then I hear there's some others. I don't know that the 98% coverage is quite accurate. I was talking to our law enforcement, and they said it doesn't work where, you know, our county is, but yet they're required when they buy the radios to have an extra $200 input so it can pick up something else that doesn't pick up. So we're spending a lot of money and really not getting much for it. Someplace it must work great, but we're not real pleased with it. So that 98% coverage, I question that. And do you know anything about the extra charge for the radios that people are having to buy? Our police chief said we have to buy these.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As for the radios, they need particular radios for the frequencies they're using. We could debate all day whether they picked the correct frequencies or not. Found out that they now have some extra frequencies available due to the Coast Guard moving from what they were using. I believe they're going to ultra-high frequencies. As for the coverage, I have my doubts about it, too, but that was what the agency testified, that they are 98% complete. You know, I'm not questioning their veracity on their comments, but I've heard the same thing that, you know, you can't communicate in certain parts of the state. I think a number of people in this room were there for a demonstration from the big stone building on 24th Avenue, and that didn't quite work right. So, and yes, radios or phones might work a little better in some circumstances.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize. There is a post between myself and the presenter. So, in the Appendix A, which is a document that we were provided earlier in the day, it talks about Chapter 142 of the 2015 budget bill. And this is the tranche list. So my question is, in Tranche 3, which we are assuming will not be funded, there were two surface transportation portions of that. Number 2 of the priority list, number 2, which was passing lanes, and number 9, which is air services enhancement. So my question is, were those two portions of that tranche brought forward into the current budget in any way, or were they reflected in the budget anyway? Thank you.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think they were brought forward directly. If you look at the AML bill, it's for surface transportation impacted by energy, and they could surely come out of that. And it was that specific. If you remember the AML bill we introduced yesterday, it specifically said surface transportation for mineral-impacted roads.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question. If we do see communities dropping out of this program and it continues, can it still maintain itself? Is the funding there? Does it just regress back to a smaller program? How does that work? Thank you.
Representative Burkhart.
Mr. Chairman, I assume the representative is talking about WyoLink. Okay, thank you. I don't know what happens to it. I don't think WyoLink will ever be done. We will always be appropriated money for it. You'll have maintenance on the system. Things change. It's a computerized system, and that's going to go old and out of date within probably 5 years. So we will constantly be updating that system. Whether you think it's worthwhile or not is up to you to decide. There's been a lot of money spent on it. I think there may be quite a bit more. The communities want to participate. We had testimony that each community, the fire department, emergency services, police department, the county sheriff, they all want a separate frequency because they don't want to hear the other one. That becomes very expensive in purchasing radios. Some of the old consoles do not match with WyoLink. So if you have to replace a console, they become very, very expensive. And again, their electronic equipment, they will probably be out of date in 5 years. And the companies at a certain point quit maintaining them, so you have no choice. They break, you can't get repair parts. We heard some of that testimony also. Like I said, glad to share with any of you who want it all the information given to us on WyoLink by the department. I believe there was probably a 40-page summary of what they've done, how much money they've spent, which I believe to date is about $100 million, give or take a little bit. So,
any further discussion? Question, Chairman Archman.
We'll just work this horse a little more here. I just asked, so we'll email you the copy of the Department of Transportation report, and you can look it over and make your own judgment. And I don't know that it was unanimous on the committee. I can't remember the vote. We don't record those on those motions. But their plan basically then was to install these towers, $4 million. These were going to be in Rock Springs, Evanston, Jackson, Buffalo, Newcastle, I think were those top five sites, to kind of complete that local coverage. Part of this also is replacing consoles. I think that's in the budget, given this handheld radio operability with that. And then switching to really a user fee-based system. And so then the number of consoles, the number of handhelds, and the amount of traffic you use would all incur charges that locals would pay then to be on the system. Currently, I think that's been – has it been free? Yes. I think it's been free. And so it's kind of trying to build this long-term piece to this. So I think the best thing, we can get you that report. You can look that over. It's pretty – it's an informative report, and then – you know, we'll sure be around for questions.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Section 45 is passed committee of the whole. Speaker Pro Tem Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move Agency 48, Department of Health, and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, if you look in your box this morning, there's a handout that is entitled, I scrawled out Agency 48 on the top. It says WDH 2017-2018 Budget Summary. And as is usual, Department of Health budget is a little bit peculiar this year, as it tends to be. Before we get to that chart, let me give you a couple of sort of global comments on it. One, the body will remember that really over the last 4 years, we have given extraordinary flexibility to the director of the Department of Health in his ability to move funds among programs under his budget. And that was initially adopted in an effort really to allow them to move funds where they were of critical need so that we could try to control what had been really double-digit percentage growth in the budget over a number of years before that. This budget continues that practice and continues to give the Department of Health that level of flexibility. And I think we have seen over the last 4 years that it has paid dividends in lowering significantly the number of budget increases and requests we have seen from the Department of Health. The other comment that I would make is that the global cuts that we have been talking about today, the Department of Health was the only agency that was exempted from those global cuts. And really that was in part to allow them to absorb some of the exception requests that they have made that we did not, that we denied, but gave them the authority to find within their budget through that flex authority. Now, with that background, a number of the line items that are found on your summary sheet under the Department of Health deal with Medicaid expansion and the removal of Medicaid expansion from the Department of Health budget. And really, the way the budget was presented to JAC, Medicaid expansion was really intertwined throughout the budget. And in a way that actually, when we began to talk about whether Medicaid expansion would go forward or not, we had to have the Department of Health submit a second budget book, a completely different budget book that pulled Medicaid expansion out, because it was really the expansion and the way it was handled was spread throughout the entire budget and throughout line items in the budget. And we couldn't, it was virtually impossible to go back in and just pull Medicaid out of that. And so I'm going to use this handout in front of you to kind of show you how we handled it. And this will cover the vast majority of the line items that we have in the Department of Health. And I just think it's easier than going through line item by line item. But I want you to look at Table 2 at the bottom of the budget summary sheet. And that table is the budget with Medicaid expansion in it. And you can see that you have the budget and how the requests were laid out. And that's under the three categories of general fund, federal funds, and other funds. And then you can see in the far right corner what the governor's recommendation was with Medicaid expansion. And so you can see that, for example, item one, MMIS replacement project, there was zero funds, general funds requested, but $50 million in federal funds requested. You can see, for example, Department of Labor rule change, $750,000 was requested in both general funds and federal funds, and the governor's recommendation under Medicaid expansion was to give zero of that $750,000. And that sort of carries all the way down the sheet. And then if you look at the bottom part, you will see two big numbers there that are the costs of the Medicaid expansion. And the one being the administrative cost, which is split 50-50, and that was an additional $5.5 million general funds and $5.5 million matching federal funds. And then right below that, you see the actual cost of the expansion, which is, the 90-10 split, which is $10.9 million in general fund and then $263 million in federal funds. And then the way the governor handled it is there were reduction requests throughout those listed programs. So, for example, prescription drug assistance program, they reduced that amount in their budget by $950,000 to reflect the money that they thought would be they could realize out of Medicaid expansion to pay for that program. And so at the bottom line, at the bottom, you see minus $9.7 million in general funds with Medicaid expansion, and the governor's rec was minus $11.4 million. So that's with Medicaid expansion. And so if you look at Table 1 on the top, that is the budget without Medicaid expansion. And these same exception requests, which you see reflected kind of on the top part of Table 2, these, the governor said, okay, if you don't expand Medicaid, what I'm going to do is ask you to approve all of these exception requests from the MMIS replacement project all the way down to the health information exchange. And so $23 million in general funds and exception requests and an additional $63 million. So when we look at the budget that JHC did, we removed Medicaid expansion, voted down Medicaid expansion, and so we were looking instead at Table 1. That's sort of our starting point for working the Department of Health budget. And those itemized exception requests are what we specifically address. And we address them in the following way. We denied all the exception requests except for one with some modifications. So if you look at the Medicaid waiver rate rebasing, the $3 million of general fund with matching federal funds, that is the rebasing for the DD community-based programs. We approved that exception request. So we added that $3 million into the budget. The balance of these requests we denied. However, on the first line, the MMIS replacement project, and this is their eligibility software, we, in footnote one on your budget, you'll see that we gave them the authority to find within their budget that $5.6 million so that they could capitalize on the matching federal funds, the $50.6 million in federal funds. So they have specific authority to go in and flex in their budget to find that $5.6 million. The same is the case at the bottom where you see health information exchange. We gave them the authority to go in their budget and find that $1 million so that they could get the 9-to-1 match, the $9 million that the federal government matches for that program. The other caveat I would tell you about the denial of those exception request, and that did not include the other funds. The other funds we did approve. But the Department of Labor rule change, you see, the $750,000, that was an alternative to the $3 million. What the governor told us is because of some Department of Labor rules, et cetera, if we did not approve the $3 million, we needed to at least approve the $750,000. But because we approved the $3 million, we didn't need to worry about the $750,000. Those were sort of overlapping duplicative requests. And so you can see then, bottom line, is that we did not do the global cuts. We increased the Department of Health budget by $3 million, and really after all the back and forth, that's where we end up after removing Medicaid expansion. So I'll stop on that point and take questions on that before we go into the rest of the footnotes, if that's okay with the chair.
Discussion, Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I want to clarify what occurred with the programs that were proposed to be cut with Medicaid expansion. Were all of those programs reinstated by or kept whole in current funding with the approach that was taken by JAC? My second question will be the Title 25 funding. We all know we have some pretty significant budget challenges there, and I know you provided some unprecedented latitude with the Department of Health to deal with intra-agency transfers. And I guess, what is the testimony? Where do we think that's going, notwithstanding the fact that we have some bills this session that may affect that? But those two things, what happened to the programs that were proposed to be cut with a Medicaid expansion, were they held harmless? And two, a little discussion on the Title 25 short funding. Thank you.
Speaker Pro Tem Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, good questions. And yes, all those reductions that you see on the bottom part, they were left whole. So, again, using the Prescription Drug Assistance Program reduction as an example, that $950,000 was not removed from the program. With respect to the Title 25 funding, the $11.4 million, the testimony really, and this was the case with the way we treated all these exception requests, was that the Department of Health could do it, and they could, as long as we did not impose the global cuts, as long as we could cover the Medicaid waiver rate rebasing, that the Department of Health believed that it could operate within its budget to handle the rest of the exception requests.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm a little confused on the two components of the Medicaid waiver rate rebasing plus the Department of Labor rule change. So we heard testimony in the Labor Committee on the waiver rate rebasing, which did not take into account the labor rule change. Now, that labor rule change was a federal Department of Labor change that said that if you have somebody providing services, respite care services, over an 8-hour period, that you can't just compensate them on a day rate, that there has to be an overtime amount figured into there. And so with the Medicaid waiver rate rebasing, that does not take into account that, at least from my understanding of what we saw, does not take into account that labor rule change. And so my question back to you is, when the Department of Health appeared to you, was that waiver rate rebasing report complete at that time?
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Chairman, yes, it was. And all I can tell you was the testimony that was provided to us, which was that if we did the rebasing, we appropriated the $3 million, the additional $750,000 that would have been needed for those that essentially overtime rate was not needed, but would instead be incorporated to changes made with the $3 million. That was the testimony that was provided to us.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To get back to Title 25, my understanding is that the Department of Health will find other means of financing it from somewhere in their budget. Were there discussions that more specifically identified line items they would take that money from? Thank you.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
No, Mr. Chairman, there were not. Instead, the discussions were much more general about the fact that it's essentially $1 billion a year that they have, and that they could, among all their programs, find that amount. And the rest of that discussion, too, was, I mean, this doesn't take the pressure off of dealing with the Title 25 issue. And certainly the task force continues over the next interim. We've got a couple bills we'll be looking at over this session. But, frankly, our hope is that we can do something to address this, too, so that before the end of the biennium, we're not seeing the overruns that we're seeing right now.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to go to the Medicaid waiver rate rebasing, $3 million. Last year, during the supplementary budget, we added $3 million in to essentially keep the businesses alive until we could get to the rebasing. So is this $3 million on top of the $3 million that we put in the supplementary budget last year?
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Chairman, no. So what it was last, in the supplemental budget, we did $1.5 million. So a biennial number would be $3 million. But we did the $1.5 million one time. And we directed essentially that that would be a down payment on the rebasing that came forward this session. So this is not additional money. Really, this is just a biennialization because the amount that we put in last time ended up being the annual amount they came back to us with in the report. So this is essentially a continuation then of that additional funding we put in last year.
Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just wanted to call the body's attention back to the very first packet that we got, and it's Appendix H. So all these budgets that we're going through, and we're talking about global cuts, the austerity measures, and that $37,796 that's cut, that's all general fund money. So back on this handout with the Department of Health, the federal funds are replacing just about that much money. I just see it's kind of ironic that the Department of Health is the only agency that is exempt from the global cuts, but those two numbers are pretty close to being the same. So was it because we had to use extra general money in the Department of Health? Is that why they're exempt from the global cuts?
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Chairman, they're exempt from the global cuts so that they have, because they told us that if we did not impose those cuts and we allowed them flexibility, they could cover those exception requests without additional monies. That's why they're exempt.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm still back on the Medicaid waiver rate rebasing. So we've got 11 big providers, and we heard from 10 of them that are losing money. And so what we've done is we've kept flat budget from last year and not added additional money in. And then we're expecting them to implement the Department of Labor rule change at $750,000, thereby reducing the $3 million that would go to keeping these companies whole that are doing the state business. I'm wondering how all of this was justified through JAC.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
I think, Mr. Chairman, I'd make 2 points. One is I'm not sure that you can say that $3 million is reduced by the $750,000 because it is all monies being paid to the providers. So they are getting $3 million extra in funds paid to them. So the reason we settled on that amount was because of the direction of this body that a rebasing study needed to be done, that they come back to us with a number based on that study, and this was the number they came back on. So we weren't plugging in our own number. We weren't reducing their number. We weren't adding to their number. We were doing just what we were told to do, which is base our decision on that rebasing study.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to make sure that I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, but is it fair to say that the JAC budget without Medicaid expansion results in the expenditure of more state general fund dollars than with Medicaid expansion? I want to make sure I understand this summary. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Chairman, the amount of general fund dollars that are expended in the budget adopted by JAC is more than the amount that was submitted by the governor.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So let's take a break from let's go to the footnotes. So my question is on page 29 of the budget bill, footnote 3. And this is a request, basically, from JAC or the legislature, if it continues on and is passed as part of the budget, to do three things. And these are, I think, at least two of them are pretty dang significant. So I want to make sure everybody understands what we're doing in this. The first one is a study by the Department of Health, which I'm a little confused why the Department of Health would lead a study on the state-administered health insurance options for people individuals and businesses within Wyoming. First of all, we have a department. It's also referenced here called the Department of Insurance. It seems like they'd be the appropriate ones to do a study or look at and have the information to do this type of an approach, unless something I'm missing something about this being a part of the Medicaid program or something like that. The second one, so that's the first one that I think is a policy question that we're trying to get at, and I'd just like some explanation. The second one is line 10 through, I guess, just line 10 on, talks about a summarization of the current health insurance market. This one, including provider and plan types, this one certainly does seem like there's another agency that is specifically responsible for insurance in the state of Wyoming, and so I'm not sure why the Department of Health is involved in this. And then the next question I'd have, or next thing I'd like to point out and have some comment on, is on the bottom of the page, line 25, 6, 7, talks about what the Department of Health cannot do, and that is participate in any private multiplayer claims database. And I know these are terms that folks maybe not be familiar with getting thrown around, but this is actually how we find out what is being charged for the actual charges are for health care and the actual payments are for health care as it's being provided throughout the state. And so I'm curious why we would not want to know what the charges are and how the state of Wyoming is being impacted around the state in the bottom one, and then why the Department of Health, instead of another department that may be more appropriately qualified to deal with the insurance questions, are not in the footnote 3. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll try to answer this. On footnote 3 on line 5, if everybody's looking at it, their budget bill, it says, in consultation with the Department of Insurance, okay, this is Department of Health, in consultation with the insurance, Department of Insurance, and the administrative employees and officials group insurance plan within the Department of A&I. So there's really three departments working on this, health, insurance, and A&I. The reason why it resides, we chose to put it in health, is for the fact that they really have more manpower and expertise. They got all the epidemiologists, all the statisticians. They've got all those kind of folks already in their department. But we thought a collaborative effort of those three agencies would probably give us, I don't know that if you care for you to say this person's the captain of the study or not, but I thought we thought that they would probably have the most expertise. And then, so I hope I answered that question. Then down to line 25, where it says the Department of Health, at the end of line 25, shall not expend any funds. You know, I'm glad you brought that question up, because not every, I'm going to try to say this the right way, not every budget amendment, certainly not every budget amendment, is unanimous. And so budget amendments, when you make a motion, sometimes somebody makes an amendment to the amendment, and then that amendment to the amendment is successful, and then the entire amendment passes. And so more to talk about probably on that last sentence, but and I think on second and third reading. But, things don't always come out as you perfectly envision them a lot of times when you bring a motion. A lot of times the amendment gets amended, just like in any of your committees when a member brings an amendment. So that was an amended amendment, To be fair, I put that last sentence in there.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Members, you're sort of jumping ahead of me because you're jumping into things that we haven't talked about yet. So I'm going to go ahead and move forward and talk about the other line items before I take additional questions on the budget, just to make sure that I can cover them and provide some explanation, and maybe we can forestall a couple of these. So, in what we've just talked about, if you look at note number 3 on page 22 of your summary sheet, it's that that study, that footnote number 3, where we're looking at adding folks to the state-administered health insurance plan. And the good chairman talked about that study and the departments involved in that. Number 4 under that is the other study that was just discussed on this multi-payer claims database. And really, there, like the good chairman said, there was a lot of discussion about whether this could be done through the state, whether there should be participation there are efforts around the state to do a private multi-payer claims database, and whether the state should be just a part of that. And as the discussion went along and the debate went along, the footnote is written is what we settled on. If you look at line number 6 on page 22, you will see that we reduced the tax refunds to the elderly and disabled. The original budgeted amount was $8.2 million. We reduced that by $3.8 million. And this is a program. There's about 5,800 residents that take advantage of this. The typical or average, I guess, refund under the program is $625. This has, and for several years, has been the lowest priority of the Department of Health. And so in trying to find savings in the Department of Health, we followed their priority list. In looking at note number 11, there was a governor's letter number 22, which requested $1 million to essentially help applications and those sorts of things for federally qualified health centers. This has not ever been a state-sponsored effort before, and so we did allow them to use any potential carryovers or reversions they have up to $750,000 for this effort, but we cut the request for a current expenditure for that project. If you jump down to note number 16, this you will see is a denial of the governor's letter number 14. He asked for $200,000 for the Wyoming 211 program. And this is a program where people can call in and kind of find out what services are available, where they go for services. So we made that cut. In line 19, you'll see that the governor requested $258,000 for trauma unit site reviews. And again, because that was a new expenditure, new request, we cut that request. On line 23, you'll see, and this is footnote 5 in your budget, and I think this may be a carryover, but we give the public health laboratory the ability to collect fees for their services. They don't have that statutory authority, so we have included it in footnote 5. And I think this was in previous budgets, too, I think. But there's a bill to correct it coming along, too, so we may end up pulling this out if that bill makes it through. Line number 25, you'll see we eliminated a position, and that was a $143,000 position. You will see that we added money into the budget, $4.7 million in tobacco funds. The governor eliminated drug courts around the state, which are funded by tobacco funds. We pulled tobacco funds out of a number of other places and reinstated that cut. The committee felt that these are good programs and needed to make sure we keep people out of prison. So line item 30, you'll see, this is footnote number 6 in our budget. And this essentially allows the state hospital to set up a special revenue account so that they can use some of their income for life safety issues and emergency detention services at their facility. And you'll see, jumping down to 34, this can kind of be lumped in that same amount and has, again, I think been a longstanding footnote that allows the retirement center up in Basin to collect and spend special revenue funds for their operations. The 31 we've talked about, that's the Title 25 expenditures that were denied. There was a request, and this is for the DD preschools for an ECA. Again, that was denied. And then the governor submitted a letter requesting an additional $500,000 for senior centers, and we reduced that to $250,000, and as with all the other expenditures, changed it to general fund from LSRA. So that is a snapshot, and now I will take your questions.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Going up to number four, it directs the agency to work with ANI and insurance department to study feasibility of a volunteer multi-payer claims database providing conditions and requiring reporting. I want to commend the Appropriations Committee for doing that. As I've looked at other states and how they get a handle on medical costs, all claims payer database is probably one of the highest rated ways to get a handle on why we have high medical costs. My only question would be, why did you make it volunteer instead of mandatory?
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Mr. Chairman, again, that was part of the debate, and really there was a sense among the committee that we don't want to force people to be part of this. We don't want to force people to disclose that. And really what these are, you're looking at what are healthcare costs that people are incurring through their insurance plan. So you can see, you know, if there's an area of the state where a knee replacement's five times what it is in another area of the state, that's information folks can use to make real decisions, real market-based decisions on healthcare. But what we didn't want to do is make people do that. There's a huge incentive to do it because people, as you said, it's a good way to get control of your healthcare costs. But we think it best that people voluntarily do it instead of forcing them. And again, this is talking specifically about the state's involvement in a multi-payer database.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question about, I guess, can we go to footnotes now, Mr. Chairman? That's okay. Okay, we'll go to, since I jumped the gun the last time, and I apologize. So I'd like to take a look at page 30, footnote 5. This is regard to the public health laboratory being able to charge fees, collect those fees, and set them aside in a special account. And specifically within the within that footnote, it says they can't be expended until they're appropriated. And I guess what I would like to know is we made an exception for that under the special revenue account for life safety and emergency detention services under Title 25 and the state hospital. And I wonder if this disallowance of expenditure is appropriate or if we should be handling it a little bit more like we did the one under 30, which is line 30. That was done for the other thing. So that's my question. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Remember, in most cases, we appropriate. Even if it's special revenue, we appropriate. And really the goal here, and if you look at the footnote, the aim is to allow them to set their fees sufficient enough to recoup the costs of the tests. And so we'll continue appropriating it, and we'll probably appropriate it back to the public health laboratory to cover the costs of their ongoing operations, and that will hopefully in the long run reduce any general fund expenditures we have going towards that. But I anticipate that year after, even if we do have the legislation I was talking about earlier, we'll still year after year appropriate these funds to the public health laboratory.
Any further discussion? Question being being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 48 has passed Committee of the Whole. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report with respect to the action taken today in Committee of the Whole on the Budget Bill, House Bill 1.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried.
The reading clerk will read today's action of the Committee of the Whole.
Mr. Speaker, with respect to the Budget Bill, House Bill 1, General Government Appropriations-2, the Committee of the Whole took action as follows. Section 1, adopted. Representative Berger moved that the House rise and sit again. Section 2, adopted. Section 3, adopted. Section 4, adopted. Section 6, adopted. Section 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 14, 15, 20, 21, 23, 24 have all been adopted, as well as sections 27, 29, 32, 37, 39, 40, 41, 42, 44, 45 have all been adopted. And Representative Berger moved to accept the action taken today in Committee of the Whole on House Bill 1 and continue the review on House Bill 1 on 217. The motion carried.
Representative Lindholm.
Mr. Speaker, I move for the adoption of today's action taken on the budget bill.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. In accordance with Joint Rule 14-1, further Committee of the Whole action will be continued until the next legislative day. Congratulations, Representative Lindholm. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 5, Mr. Speaker, this is to inform you that the Senate has adopted the following amendments to the Permanent Senate and Joint Rules of the 63rd Legislature. State Rule 1/A, State Rule, or Senate Rule 2/A, and Joint Resolution 1/A. Message number 118. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading. By the vote indicated, Senate File 11, Youth Challenge Program, Ayes 22, Noes 8, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 119. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading. By the vote indicated, Senate File 17, Notice of Mineral Property Transfer, Ayes 30, Noes 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 120. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 19, Public Funds Investing, Ayes 30, Noes 0. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 121. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 26, Lapsing of Appropriated Funds, Dash Amendments, Ayes 30, No 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 122. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 38, Data Management Policies, Ayes 28, Noes 2, Sincerely, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 123. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 59, Deferred Compensation, Automatic Enrollment Amendments, -2, Ayes 30, no 0. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 124, motion to reconsider. Mr. Speaker, upon reconsideration, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 14, Student Data Privacy and Transparency. Ayes 18, noes 12. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 69, Unlawful Dissemination of an Intimate Image, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Escobel, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, and Winters. Those who voted no, Representatives Baker, Halverson, Croker, and Crone, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 81, Drug Court Surcharge, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, and Winters, signed by Representative Croker, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 86, Wyoming Repeal Gun-Free Zones Act, respectfully reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pinnell, Winters. One no vote, Representative Pelkey, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 51, Local Government Distributions, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 57, Upper Payment Limit Program Private Hospitals, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 74, Upper Payment Limit Program Public Nursing Homes, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 123, State-Funded Capital Construction-2, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 17, Shed Antlers and Horns, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Klim, Kirkbride, Larson, Petroff, Schwartz, two no votes, Representative Freeman and Steinmetz, signed by Representative Petroff, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 20, State Public Purpose Investments-Reporting, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Baxton, and Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Dan Zwanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 79, Recall of Elected Officials-Commission-Run Municipalities, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Gay, Lindholm, and Dan Zwanitzer. Those who voted no, Representative Edwards, Jennings, Kirkbride, and Paxton, signed by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 95, Abandoned Gift Certificates and Value Cards-Sunset Repeal, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye. Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Danswanitzer, signed by Danswanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 101, approved depositories for public funds, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye. Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Danswanitzer, signed by Danswanitzer, Chairman.
Committee announcements. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, will be immediately after we're released here to consider three bills, House Bill 54, 76, and 138. Thank you.
Chairman Zwanitzer, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet tomorrow at noon recess in H-37 to hear four bills, House Bill 48, State Spending and Revenues, House Bill 77, Electronic Assessment Forms, House Bill 119, Campaign Finance Reporting, and House Bill 75, Professional Licensure Boards.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands, and Water Resources, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and will consider the following bills, House Bill 104, Food Freedom Cooked Meat Products, House Bill 117, Pesticide Applicator Certification Program Funding, and House Bill 97, Wolf Depredation Compensation.
Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee, House Committee Number 2, Appropriations, will meet at 8 a.m. to consider House Bill 52, School Facilities Appropriations, House Bill 96, Abandoned Mine Land Funds, and House Bill 140, Attorneys at Law Amendments.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet upon adjournment, and we will discuss House Bill 105 and House Bill 118.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow, Tuesday, February 16th, upon noon recess in H-38 to consider the following bills. House Bill 130, Juvenile Detention Facility, House Bill 137, Controlled Substances, and House Bill 43, Concealed Weapons.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 12, Rules, will be meeting tomorrow, Tuesday, February 16th, upon adjournment in room L-51 to discuss House Bill 30, 29, 27, and 50.
Representative Halverson.
Privilege, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, please proceed.
We found on the floor a lovely little stylus that looks like it fits in someone's device. It's over in the cool kids' corner if anyone claims it.
It's over here.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you will direct your attention to the back of the aquarium, there is a lovely young lady and a very handsome older gentleman. The lovely young lady is my daughter, Kate Barlow, who is a first-year student at the University of Wyoming Law School. And the fine gentleman is the husband of Representative Noreen Kasparek, Nick. Please welcome them.
Chairman Zwanitzer, Dan. Chairman Zwanitzer, Dave. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet tomorrow night, 10 minutes after adjournment, in H-37 to discuss two bills, House Bill 39, Enhanced Speeding Fines Amendments, and House Bill 89, Driver License Endorsements Revisions.
Madam Majority Floor Leader, I believe that clears the deck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I need your full attention. The first thing I'd like to walk you through is just that we're going to have a start time in the House for tomorrow, Tuesday, February 16th, Wednesday, February 17th, and Thursday, February 18th at 9 a.m. Thank you. I was hoping I could get that response. 9 a.m. Then I would like you to put on your calendars that our lunch hours are going to look like this. February 16th, tomorrow, we hope, noon to 1. February 17th, noon to 1:30, and Thursday, February 18th, noon to 1. It is looking quite prominent that February 18th, Thursday, and Friday will be long days, in particular Thursday, February 18th. I am prioritizing bills, as I'm told by you as committee chairman, or as individuals. The next thing I have is a list of general file, which will be emailed to you, but I will list the numbers. There are 40 of them for general file tomorrow in collaboration with House Bill 1 that we still need to finish. So, the general file for tomorrow starts with House Bill 51, House Joint Resolution 2, House Joint Resolution 4, House Bill 31, 35, 53, 87, 9, 60, 63, 80, 19, House Joint Resolution 3, House Bill 71, 41, 62, 14, 49, 82, 6, 40, 58, 17, 84, 57, 74, 123, 85, 47, 11, 88, 113, 42, 81, 86, 69, 20, 79, 95, and House Bill 101. Those are all the bills that have come through as of about 4:45 today. And with that, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until 9 a.m. February 16, 2016.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
We're adjourned until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.